This is Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend Deep Dive with Dana Carvey. Hey, Dana.
Glad to be here, Conan.
It's a six-part mini-series where I, Conan O'Brien, along with occasional help from my assistant, Sonam Ovsesian.
Hi.
And my producer, Matt Gourley.
Hi.
Go deep into the weeds with one of my favorite comedians and friends, Dana Carvey. Enjoy.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell, brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens, I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
I've had the privilege of taping how many Conan O'Brien episodes?
36 at this point.
Each one of them perfection, I'm told. The point is, I interviewed one gentleman who's been a really good friend of mine for years and who I've always regarded as possibly the funniest person alive. And we had such an amazing time that when the interview was over, I was enraged that it had stopped. And then we aired the episode and the universal complaint was, what happened? Why did that only last an hour? Sounds like my wedding night. I'm so unfunny. But here he is in person, because here's the plan. His name is Dana Carvey, and we're just messing around.
Yeah.
Doing whatever comes to mind.
It's unbelievably fun.
It's really fun. You know, one of the things that I wanted to mention was we started to do it when we talked on our initial podcast, and it was really fun. And I was just trying to set you up and stay out of the way.
Right.
But it was you had this great idea, which is that Paul McCartney can speak to John Lennon.
Right.
John Lennon's in the afterlife. Paul McCartney can speak to him. John doesn't know what's going on in 2019.
Right.
So Paul has to try and explain it to him.
Yeah.
And to help you do it, I try to do a John. I'm not an impressionist like you, but I just try and do, isn't he, it's kind of a, is he, well, yeah. Help me out with the John.
No, that's it.
But it's sort of like,
it's just a nasal.
It's nasally, and it's a little more like, well, it's, okay.
And Paul's kind of the bass guy.
Right.
Down here.
Right.
What are you
talking about, Paul? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I have a little bit of an edge. I'm a little impatient.
A little impatient, because you can't see, but we were mates. We were lads, as you can recall, John.
I remember, yeah.
We had a bit of a competition.
Yeah. What's happening on Earth, Paul? Tell me. They don't tell me up here. I don't get the papers.
Well, you know, America, you know, they have a new president. He's talking about the big orange man with the white circles around his
What do you mean there's an orange man as president? What the fuck are you talking about, Paul?
He just has an orangey hue to him. You know, he's like sort of a tangerine tone, you know.
Is he ill? Does he have an illness?
No, he doesn't. You know, we don't know how he does it, whether he applies it or he's in a booth or something.
But and this man's the president of the United States?
He leads the whole thing. You know, he's 300 pounds. He's orange. And large.
You're not making sense, Paul. I don't understand that a large orange man is president of the United States.
He's got swirly cotton candy hair, and every day around four or five little purpley sparks. If you look close, green and purple sparks come out of his head.
I'm not sure I understand, but this man's the president. What else is going on?
The whole world loves him. Kanye West loves him.
What's a Kanye West?
Well, he's a person. You know, he's a singy talker. We did a little singy talker.
Well, is he a musician like we?
Sort of. He's like a chef.
Does he have a group? Does he have a group?
No, he just goes about with a rhyming about himself. He's like a chess thumper. He talks about how great he is. Remember when you said we were more popular than Jesus? He thinks he is Jesus.
And does he get in trouble the way I did?
Well, he gets in a bit of, you know, a thing for being, you know, a supporter of the Trumpy man. You know, people go, what does he doobly
doobly? And that's the orange man you're talking about.
Yeah, they think he's like all goobly goobly up inside, you know. But, you know, he's a good guy. He's got a terrific wife, you know, by the name of Kim Kardashian.
And that's his wife, is Kim Kardashian. That's the chess thumper.
No, she's married to the chess thumper.
She's married to the chess thumper, right?
Yeah,
that's what I fucking said. I said she's married to the fucking chess thumper. Listening again. You didn't do this. You didn't listen on the White Album. You don't listen now. That's why we had fucking problems.
You've always been a bit cheeky, John. You know, you said, the only time you said you liked my music was here, there, and everywhere. I'll never forget it. Yeah, I got a little choked up. I get a little vapory with it, you know, with feeling a compliment. We always loved you, John, you know.
You're getting a little sentimental on me,
Paul. I get a little sentimental. But Kim Kardashian, yeah, she makes a living with her bottom. It's very unique.
How does your honey make a living with a bottom?
It's not a normal bottom. It's a bottom 2.0. It's like God made a fanny and attached a person as an afterthought. And, you know, she takes pictures of her bottom.
Wait a minute. Someone takes pictures of their own bottom? Well, a woman takes pictures of her own bottom?
Because in the future, we all have the baby televisions in our pocket.
Paul, you've lost me completely. Well, you're saying that the wife of the chest thumper is an all bottom, a bottom,
she's got
an extra bottom, and she takes pictures of it with a mini telephone?
Yes, she takes pictures of it. And whole family, they're getting rich taking pictures of their bottom. Everyone's taking pictures of their bottoms. One gentleman got so frustrated he became a woman.
How do you do that? Well, if he just dresses a woman, is that what he does?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he's gone all doobly-doobly full course meal downstairs. But on the surface, he's got a little dressy on with some little pumpy things and lipstick. He used to be a great athlete, but now he's a she.
I've been listening to you for 5 minutes, Paul. You haven't made sense once. John, you're saying that a man turned into a woman?
Yes, it's in 2019.
And you're saying that someone took pictures of their giant bum-bum with a television that goes in their pocket?
It's a dystopian world, I'm sure.
And there's an orange man that runs the world?
Yes, it's a crazy world,
and he's
John.
Got a candy cane on the top of his head?
He's got candy cane with little sparks coming out of it, John.
And you're saying that people don't write music anymore? They just tell rhymes about how good they are?
They don't. They just, yeah, they just chest thumper it. Oh, I could do this, oh, I could do that, oh, I'm this, oh, I could do that. And that's how they do it, and the young people love it, you know. But everybody's on social media, talking to each other.
What's social media?
It's a place where you share your life with the world, you know, and you talk, you know, you take pictures of your life, you make it seem so incredible. And everyone looks at it and goes, what's all that? They're on a yacht. Why am I not on a yacht? You know, and people are getting all despairing and they're popping pills and feeling all bad about themselves.
So they're writing letters to each other and they're showing these pictures? Well,
no, you go on your baby television. You click on something, say Instagram, instead of a telegram. And people take a picture of themselves and say, here I am. And if they've got a good bummer, then a bikini or particularly nice looking gal, she can monetize it, make
you
a lot.
You mean a bird?
Money. A bird, a gal, a squiggler, a dobbler, you know, one with a coogler. You know, you remember when you said Liverpool, we pick up the boongas.
Oh, we have all the boongas.
Oh, the boongas. We take them in the back
nice
of the Kingos. Remember behind the dumpster?
She's got a pair of the gingas and the bongas.
Yeah, we were. You know,
a little dobbly on the shub-jub.
You're a real goobly-obbly. All down in the doobly-doob.
It's the first time you've made sense to me, Paul.
I'm sorry, John. You know, you got to come back one of these days.
Well, they don't really allow it. Once you're here, you're not allowed to come back.
Well, we'll see you soon. I don't know.
I came back one time. No one recognized me.
But I remember one time, you know, we used to get really with the birds, you know, in the back of the limo, you know.
Oh,
you can't do that anymore.
Oh, you're not allowed to get on with the birds in the back of a limo?
No, if you say something that's a little bit wobbly, you know, you can't be out in society anymore. You go to a place called Predator Island. They're all herded on an island.
What? Who's on Predator Island?
Well, everybody's out there. Harvey Weinstein, the big movie producer, Charlie Rose, who's out there, who, you know, had a robe that was open, so he had to go.
Wait a minute, because
Woody Allen's out there. You know, you remember him with the movies?
Oh, yeah, he's in the movies. Had the glasses.
The glasses and the thing and the boop. They're all out there, you know, on Predator Island.
That was awesome.
There's a bootleg, I think, where they're not getting along, and it's one of those outtakes.
Yeah.
And they're kind of messing around, and then Paul is trying to get them back on track, and Paul just says, all right, everybody, back to the drudgery. And there's a pause, and then you just, you hear John lose it. He just goes, all right, everyone, back to the drudgery. And then there's a pause, and then you just hear, well, you're the one that's fucking making it drudgery. Doesn't have to be drudgery. You're like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, and there's a new movie coming out about they got all the found footage from Let It Be, and they're reconstituting it. So there's, but George Harrison said about John, he said he made us fierce. You know, they needed Lennon for that. And Paul, I mean, it just still is the story of all time. You're a fan, right?
Oh, super fan, yeah.
I know. We could talk about that all day.
This is a funny thing about the Beatles. I listen to the Beatles channel, Sirius.
All the time.
You know, I listen to that. And they always play clips of different Beatles over time, giving their reminiscences, and they're pretty interesting. And then Ringo's will always be, especially the ones from later, most recently. His things are just like, we played Shea Stadium. There we landed in the parking lot and then we went inside and played.
Not a lot happening.
That's not adding anything to the conversation. His stories really are, you know, what was it like at the Cavern Club? Well, it was in a cavern. We went downstairs and then
just perfunctory information.
And we set up and we played and then we left. And it was called the Cavern. You're like, all right, that's not helping me.
Well, it's which it's just lends itself to Paul dealing with being who he is, you know, that he downplays it. And that's what's always been funny to me.
But, you know, it's funny that it's very hard for Paul McCartney to just say, yes, I was part of the greatest thing that ever happened in show business.
Right.
He can't say that, but he goes too far the other way. We were just a little band.
Yeah.
That, you know, we just made a couple of tunesy woonsies and then off we went.
I know. And he's like, John and I, you know, we were mates, but we had a competition. You know, so he goes, he comes up with Strawberry Fields. I go to the fields, do-do-do-do-do. You know, it's a great little tune, you know. And I thought, well, that's where he grew up. You know, so I got Penny Lane. I'm on Penny Lane. Cling, clink-a-ling, do-do-do, you know. And so we had, you know, we had Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields. Just be like, hey, hey, wait on, hold on. He had I'm Only Sleeping. Hold on, hold on. Let me see what I'm coming with. Ellen Rigby. Has a jaw with a face, a do-do-do, a do-do-do. You know, and it's a nice little tune.
I love that he doesn't even know his own songs.
Right.
Has a face, and it's a tune, and a goodly-do.
But it's like 21st century pop masterpiece. It was a cute little number. And Rigby, do-do-do-do-do. You know, it was a nice little album, you know. With a Dear Prudence, I'm Prudence, you got the Prudence. You know, it was a great little song. You know, he's so brilliant. It's just the throwaway. It's like Kubrick going, you know, I made a little 2001. You know, the models, whoop-de-woo, there we go. Go to the moon, here to do. You know, it's like, and like you could say it, Conan O'Brien, you know, 30,000 hours of incredible comedy over 3 decades, doobie-de-doo, and do-do-do-do-do-do. What?
No one would understand
me. See how I snuck in a compliment?
That was nice.
You've given me so many hours.
You love doing British actors. You
love
know?
Them.
You yep. love British actors. You love, I know you love Michael Caine.
I really just, the key to Caine is nasal. Everybody knows he walks down. But if you go very nasal, you go very slow. I'd like to say, Coded, when I came on your show, in your first year, and I'd done a picture with Ellen Barkin where I played a detective, and I went on, and I'd not seen you yet on the show, and I have to say, as the British would say, you were dead from the neck up. you weren't batting with a full wicket, and I enjoyed it, and I'm glad you went on to great things, but that was the way I talk like this. And what I do sometimes is Michael Caine as a kid in kindergarten.
Uh-huh.
I like to eat paste. I don't know why, but I eat things in the classroom. My mother doesn't make me a proper lunch. I once chewed on a hula hoop for a couple of weeks, and I ate my way through a tennis ball before I entered first grade. I chewed my desk down to the nubs, and the teacher says, where's your desk? And I said, well, I ate it over a 9-month period with the splinters and all the different intestinal combinations. It was fit for my parents taking me to the doctor. The other thing about British actors, as a segue here, British actors who play Nazis.
Yes.
And don't bother to change their accent.
Yes.
Those are the best, because then they kind of seem to overemphasize that they're Nazis. Now, see here, I'm a Nazi through and through. Nobody loves Hitler like I do. Well, I'm a Nazi as well. I'm Nazi to the core. What about you, Siegfried?
I'm a Nazi, all right. My wife has a wedding ring in the shape of a swastika. That's how Nazi I am. Munich, Stuttgart, I know all the towns.
Yes.
Hey, here comes Hitler.
Hello, hello.
Well, James...
I'm the leader of the Free Reich, I am.
James Mason played Rommel, right? That was the
same
thing.
Yes, James Mason played Rommel.
James Mason. I'm a Nazi, god damn it.
Did he make any attempt? He made no attempt.
Well, no, not at all. Not at all.
Also, British actors can play anything. British actors play Romans all the time, too. You know, like,
yes.
if they do a movie about Rome or anything, they're always...
I dare say. Well, I also thought that you could do Richard Burton if you just take the Lennon tone. That was sort of like him mm-hmm. for Richard Burton. So
you should teach me how, because I don't know.
Elizabeth, our armies will crush our armies. I don't know what if I'm doing Robin Leach or John Lennon. I don't know. I'll just do it as John Lennon. But yeah, those British actors just were, you know.
They can play anything.
They
doesn't
do
matter.
Anything. And they have great accents. It's amazing how they do American accents. And we can't do the same, can we? Ours are a little... What's your best... I mean, if you do just a basic British accent, can you make it in London?
I don't think... No, I could not. Not in a second. The one time I effectively... Someone was kind of following me around once in an airport. And I never do this. I'm real friendly with everybody. But something about this guy just was like creeping me out a little bit. And he finally just came up to me and he went, "You're Conan O'Brien, right?" And I just went into like... I don't know if I was doing Irish or what, but I just was like, you don't have the right guy, but I've heard of the Conan O'Brien, but I did. And the guy went, "Oh, I'm so sorry," and he walked away.
Wow.
But then he kept creeping around, and then he saw someone else come up who was nice, and I took a picture with that person, and he came up and he went, "Oh, okay. All right. I guess you really fucking made a fool out of me." And I was like, shit.
After I saw Christopher Guest in Spinal Tap, I tried to play blackjack with his accent. And I did make it through. I wasn't on TV then.
Is that true?
The main thing, now I'm doing Michael Caine. It was just sort of like, it's one higher. Like that. I'll bet this. All right. And they go, "Where are you from?" I'm from Berkshire. About 30 miles south. You know, if you just have to do it subtle. Because you usually go way over the top and then they know.
That's how they know. Someone was telling me, I was just in Australia and a woman was trying to teach me how to speak
with
an Australian
accent.
That's a really hard accent. And one of the things she told me is you have to let the back of your, it has to come from the back of your jaw, and the back of your jaw and your throat have to be a little paralyzed, meaning you can't enunciate that. "It comes from back here and it's going to have," you know, and I couldn't do it.
God, I had it perfect like 2 years ago. I watched an Australian show, but
they
it's
put
very
like
flat.
Three syllables in the word "no," like "nar,"
nah.
Like that. It's insane.
It's all right. It goes back to that. Yeah, back in the back of your throat.
Back of
Cannon,
your throat.
"We love you down here in Australia." And then if you go too far, you're doing Jack Kennedy, "I believe in this nation." You know what I used to do?
"And I say to you."
I saw a world news newspaper. It was like National Choir on Acid. This was like in the 80s or something, and it was Hitler, Elvis, and the two Kennedys, and they said they were still alive. Mm-hmm. So I used to do that to amuse friends that were smoking
pot. Can we hear a little
for
of that?
Hours. What are you going to do, Bobby? Hold on. Hey, what's Hitler doing over there? He's 120 for crying out loud.
I'm going to teach Adolf to speak. Adolf, see, spot, run. Schaus die wie deinen Spalten!
I know.
See? Shout!
Oh, come on, Bobby. You've been teaching for 45 years. Ever we snuck down in this bunker and we took that anti-aging thing that Wernher von Braun invented. And I'm going to put a dress on and go get some Dunkin' Donuts. Anyone want to come, Jack?
I will not go to the top service with you at this time. I don't do it because it's easy. I do it because it's hard. Schaus dir die Deichel und deine Wiedein.
When are we going to leave this bunker? I'm sick of being down here. 2019. Damn, I can't even do it.
Why is JFK working so hard to teach Hitler how to speak English?
Well, it was technically JFK's here and Bobby was more down here. Elvis, I can do it. Let me just try again. Adolf, say Adolf. Sound of it! Adolf.
Bobby, this ain't working. It ain't never gonna work. Now, we're gonna have a visit later on from Jimmy Stewart and Richard Nixon. They live in a parallel bunker. They're coming down now. Yeah, well, what's going on here? What's Hitler doing here? What the hell? I mean, I faked my death with Richard Nixon, but I didn't think Hitler would still be here. What do you got to say? Sounds to me, Dyson. I feel like I got to stab him. I believe it. Anyway, I used to do parallel bunkers, and Regis was actually still alive and just knew everybody. Hey, everybody, can I bring you a sandwich? Anyway, I love these time-traveling bunkers you've got out here.
I love that he's very congenial. He's just trying to, like,
still
does Hitler want a sandwich? Does JFK want
anybody
a sandwich?
Anybody want a sandwich? What are you going to show the vine? I mean, that's something you would do.
I guess. I don't know. I love taking all those people that don't belong together and shoving them.
Well,
in
I do.
Space.
I do have addendums. I have additions to. We did in our very first one. We did a thing called Predator Island, and yeah. I have a couple additions.
Oh, okay.
But we should probably
set
it up.
The theme of Predator Island is that there's one island where everyone
in the Me Too movement.
Everyone who's been sort of kicked out of
ostracized,
show business, ostracized during the Me Too movement, they all live on one island.
One island. And it's maybe an ABC TV show. Bill Cosby meets you at the dock. They let him out of prison, and Arnold is the host, because why not? You know?
Sure.
Welcome to Predator Island. Would you like a pill? Yeah, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. Welcome to Predator Island. We got Harvey Weinstein and Charlie Rose on the mountains. We're going to hunt them in the night. But right now, look, coming to the jungle is Woody Allen. Woody, what are you doing here? Yeah, great. I made my stepdaughter. Now the Sinatra lookalike's got my scalp. Run, Woody. Run away.
Wait, he's telling Woody to run away?
Yes, because I'm programmed to kill, but I like you. I like Hannah and the Sisters movie. So run in the jungle. Would you like a pill? Not now, Cosby. I just had a protein shake. Stop with the pills. I don't want the pill for crying out loud. Let's go to Cheetah's Cove with Lori Loughlin and Mossamo. Whatever his name is. And look, in Racist Lagoon, we have Roseanne Barr, Megyn Kelly, and the new arrival, Liam Neeson.
Oh, no.
It was the time of the troubles. I had a crazy urge to carry. Shut up, dive down, and breathe through some bamboo, because I've got an AK-47. I've got skills that I've acquired over a period of time. Anyway.
Oh, no, Arnold, Woody's back. Woody's back.
Run! Run, Woody, run! I'm a trained killer, run! Your scrawny little body has an advantage. Scamper up the hill, through the brambles, and into the high crest rocks. I hunt you in the night.
That's fantastic.
There'll be more.
How did that pitch go over at Netflix with the Obamas?
That's something that's not kind of in the brand of what we want to do. We wanted a good positive shows. That's a little negative. I don't know about an island with people all crazy on it and Arnold chasing them down with a machine gun. Bill Cosby trying to force a pill on everyone on the island. I don't know the dump, ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-ba-dum-bum-ba-dum-bum.
Okay, Mr. Obama, at the end, you just were making rhythmic noises.
Dun-dum-dum-dum.
What?
Dun-dum-dum.
Are you okay, Mr. Obama?
Dun-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum- prison. Elvis and Hitler. Shows if he died to mind him. Shut the fuck up. That's all. Shut the fuck up.
I think Obama would not be taking any shit from
Obama,
Hitler.
I think that's a little rude. He had a bad few years. He took the youth pill that we took, and we've taught him about American democracy and other things. That sounds like a bunch of bullshit. Fuck him. Never liked Hitler. Call me crazy. Shouts to be dynamite. A lot of aggression. Come on. Well, yeah, Elvis and... I used to do a bit where Obama sings Elvis, you know, because he can really sing. You know? On the I-95 in the pancake room, one night only, former President Barack Obama sings the best of Return to Sender. I am just unknown. Come on, everybody. I mean, they have that bass.
They do have the bass.
And Al Gore opens, you know.
What? Al Gore opens
for
them?
Have I done my Al Gore?
I want to do Al Gore opening.
Well, Al Gore is... he has a one-man show that he uses to open for Barack Obama, and it's called I Told You So. Mm-hmm. It's about climate change. Uh-huh. I told you we're getting hot. You believe me not. The seas are rising. I'm not hypnotizing. The ice is melting. We are sweltering. We are getting hot. I shit you not.
And then he goes backstage and tells Obama how he thinks the crowd is.
Well, there is a bachelorette party right up front, and they will not shut their mouth. They have had several courses of drinks, big fruity ones. I think they even had a Bahama Mama that Johnny Carson used to drink. And they just will not shut their pie holes halfway through my song. I said, "Goodbye, Polar Bear." That's my big ballad at the end. They just were right. Well, that's all right. I'll take them out. I'll do what I got to do. I'll do my heckle line. I don't come to Jack in the Box and bother you when you're working. That's my opener. That's what I'll do. I'll take them down.
So Obama knows how to handle hecklers, doesn't he?
Obama can make movies. He's a badass. He's a superhero. He's a superhero on our podcast.
All right. If I laugh anymore, I'm going to have to go to the hospital for all the best reasons. So, man, something inside me broke. I laughed so hard.
Thanks to everybody here.
You're a magical man.
We're doing this, and we're actually at work.
Yes.
Really? Well, I'll believe it when I see the check.
You'll be waiting a long time.
Ooh, hello, Amazon courier. Your products come to me before I even order them. How are you ruling the world?
Nicely done. All right, that's it for tonight's episode, or today's episode. There's no time frame when you're on a podcast. Goodly-doo.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, with Sonam Ovsesian and Conan O'Brien as himself. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Chris Bannon and Colin Anderson at Earwolf. Special thanks to Jack White for the theme song. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and the show is engineered by Will Beckton. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review featured on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 323-451-2821 and leave a message. It, too, could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.